Psalm 116. We're going to look at the benefits of prayer. Look at Psalm 116. Look at verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What can I give God because of what all he's given to me? Well, one, I could take his salvation that he's provided, not insult him by the death of his son and rejecting it. Second of all, I can talk to him, call upon his name in prayer. In other words, it's a beautiful thought to think this way. God saved you to spend time with you. Before you were saved, the Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. This morning in the sermon, you'll hear me say, the prayer of the wicked, or the sacrifice of the wicked, is an abomination to the Lord. Before you were saved, God wouldn't hear your prayer. You couldn't pray because your sins had separated between you and God. Then when you accepted Jesus, that barrier is gone. Now guess what? As a child of God, you can talk to him anytime you want. So it's a beautiful thought to say what used to make God angry in your life is gone. Now you can talk to God anytime, any place, everywhere. Yes, your benefit of getting saved was you don't have to go to hell. Amen? Wonderful. Your sins are all gone. Well, what other benefits then are there to salvation? You now have God waiting for you to talk to him. And it's amazing that you say prayer simple. Watch this. Communication with God. When you read your Bible, this is God's word, God speaking to you. When you pray, that's you speaking to God. And there has to be this, or there's no relationship. Aren't you glad getting saved is so simple? You have to place your faith in Christ. But I know Christians that don't talk to God. Try that with your wife. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Prayer is very important. It's a basic element. It's a basic element. This morning we're going to look at, I wanted to start the lesson with saying, now that you're saved, you can talk with God anytime. How long has it been since you just told the Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord. When I get up in the morning, I'll go, thank you, Lord, for life. I didn't have to wake up. I've known many people who didn't. I got to wake up. Praise the Lord. Now I know I'm going to heaven and I'm not fearful of death, but Lord, thank you for life. Thank you for a night. When I go to bed at night, I can talk to the Lord. I lay my head on my pillow and I remember in the Marine Corps, sleeping in a bed of rocks with a creek running through it. I remember in boot camp, it was the third night of the bivouac and our final test, and our drill instructor was raining outside and we had to go down this valley, and he said, okay, bed down. We're right in the middle of a stream that's this deep. It's about from here to that wall. We're all sitting there looking at each other. Well, you have to do what the drill instructor says. Is bed down. I said bed down. Okay. Put our stuff down. I remember rolling my thing out, standing on it so it didn't float down the river. Undo my sleeping bag. Put it on there. Step on it. Water's everywhere. I said bed down. So you lay down. When you do that, it changes your life. And when you get to rest your head on a nice dry pillow and a nice soft mattress, trust me, I always say at night, I roll my head on that pillow and I go, thank you, Jesus, this is sure sweet. You say, how come? Because I've had different. I've had different. All I'm telling you is you can thank the Lord all the time. You can talk to the Lord all the time. And you should. You have free access. Look at Psalm 103. You're in Psalm 116. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We're looking at the benefits of prayer this morning. Psalm 103. And once again, the book of Psalms is all of the prayer songs to the Lord, either asking God for help or thanking God or telling God, I'm sorry, penitent psalms. But the psalms are prayers put to music. And Psalm 103, watch this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth... And he just goes on. God, you've given me so much. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There should be times where our heart... God's given us a lot to be thankful for. You can thank God all the time, every time. Nobody talks to God too much. Now, in looking at this aspect of benefits of prayer this morning, what's one of the benefits of prayer? Go ahead and go to Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Everybody ought to pray that prayer. Dear God, help me not talk about things I shouldn't talk about. Lord, help me not be a negative jerk. Lord, help me to be an encouragement and a blessing. That doesn't mean I can't ever say anything corrective or anything I can't speak out against wrong. But he said, dear God, most of us, do you realize the biggest category of sins in the Bible is what's done with the mouth? Nobody masters this. It says it in James 3. Nobody tames the tongue. It is set on fire of hell. It's full of poison. And our tendency is to hurt each other with our tongue. You know what the prayer is? Dear God, please help me not say anything that would hurt somebody today. And Lord, if I have to say something that's corrective, help me say it in such a way that they know I love them. Because I do have to speak corrective words sometimes. Every message I preach isn't full of love and fluff. You know what I mean? Sometimes they're hard. But I always pray, Lord, please help me not say something that would hurt somebody. I'm preaching to help. And Lord, when I talk to other people, do you ever pray this prayer? One of the benefits of prayer is you, yes, your tongue, but you can take your weaknesses to the Lord and you can give them to God in prayer and you can say, God, I struggle with this. Please help me. Christian, where do you struggle? What do you want victory in your life? What do you wish God would help you with? Do you ever ask God for help? Some of you are getting ready to spend time at Christmas time with family members that you do have to be very careful around. You mention anything about the Bible and they automatically take it as an attack. You know, you can say, boy, I love my church. And they'll go, oh, keep your religion to yourself. I just was saying I'm thankful to the Lord. And they can turn that and spin it. And you need a lot of wisdom when you're spending time with family like that. You don't need to be a loose cannon. Well, bless God, I just speak my mind. Well, you're a fool. The Bible says that. See what I just did? I used the Bible to correct. Amen? But I'm not angry at anybody. I'd like you to get through this holiday season and look back on it and say, wow, the Lord helped me. Instead of, because you can go through the holiday season where it's like, man, glad that's done. Let's move on to the next. Takes a lot of wisdom. Well, then pray about it, Christian. Lord, help me set a watch over my mouth. And Lord, it's full of misunderstandings. Lord, I'm going into a war zone. Please, help me, dear God. And I think this is a prayer for every day. One of the benefits of prayer. Look at now. You could call this things to pray about. How about this? Matthew 26:41. Go to Matthew 26:41. They say the average Christian prays about 2.5 to no more than 3 minutes a day. Some barely pray for their meals. So if you add up 30 seconds, 30 seconds, and 30 seconds, you come up with 1.5 minutes. If you get a Christian to talk with God like they should, you're making some real headway. Well, our life is just so busy. It's just, I got everything to do. If you're too busy to pray, I love the statement, you're too busy. You're too busy. then God needs to have a priority in your life somewhere. You need to make, well, I talk to God when I have time. If that's your attitude, you'll never talk with God, because the devil will always make sure you have something to do. And have you ever noticed, anytime it's time to read your Bible or pray, there's always something that comes to mind? See, the devil doesn't fight you in all areas of your life. The devil fights you in your spiritual life. But, you know, well, I had a flat tire. The devil didn't give you a flat tire. The flat tire happened because you either ran over a nail or you didn't change your tires when you should have. Yeah, well, I'm late to church because of the devil. It's not the devil's fault you're late. You didn't get up when the alarm went off. The devil gets blamed for a lot of things that the devil doesn't do. Amen? The devil fights you in spiritual areas, not in every area of your life. When it's time to go soul winning, there's always something else to do. When it's time to read your Bible and pray, there's always something else to do. Yes, that's the devil throwing darts, saying, do this, do this, do this. It's useless to pray. Don't do that. That's where the devil comes into play, not in every area of your life. It'd help if you'd understand that. Jesus said here, well, look at verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now, if you stop right there, so Jesus takes James, Peter, and John up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus goes forward and falls on his face and prays for an hour, and the three disciples, if you read it, are so tired they fall asleep. This is one of the times you find Jesus coming back to three disciples going, in my greatest hour, you couldn't pray? Y'all see the disappointment? You couldn't watch with me 1 hour? Watching and praying are synonymous words. You'll see that. You'll see watch and pray in the next verse. The word watch and pray, an awareness of what's going on and praying for it, are synonymous. And Jesus looks at the disciples and he goes, you couldn't pray 1 hour? Can we just stop here just for a second? We're talking about prayer this morning, an aspect, the average Christian, if we said right now, I've never done this, and I'm not saying I won't, I don't think there's any substitute for preaching, but isn't the name of the church, God said, this is a house of prayer, right? Says that like 3 times. I'm not making that up. Okay. If this is the house of prayer, then we're expected to pray. If I did something like this, it's not because I don't study. I'm going to preach this morning, but let's go on an if journey here real quick. If I said, we sing the songs, we take the offering, and then when it comes time for the sermon, I said, everybody, here's a list of some prayer requests and prayer needs. Let's all go pray. And if you'd like to pray with somebody, your spouse, or if you would like to, if your spouse isn't here, you're not married, then if you'd like to pray with another, or if you want to pray on your own, let's go pray, and let's take the same amount of time that I preach, which is about 35 to 45 minutes, and let's spend it in prayer. The average Christian, average, would spaz. 45 minutes! Oh my goodness! And here's what happens. See, you know, we sing that song, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. And the average Christian doesn't pray an hour. Well, that's for preachers. No, that's for Christians. That calls me from a world of care. The average Christian, if you hit your knees to pray for an hour, would drive you nuts. Because after about 5 minutes, you're going, Lord, thank you for, and bless them, and be with, and I mean it, and it's because, to talk with God beyond 5 minutes is a chore. For most, it's not natural like you would talk with your friend, because they don't do it. Now, that's one reason I wouldn't do that in church. watch our attendance. This morning, let's pray for the same amount of time pastor would preach. Next Sunday, ew. How come there's only five people here? They thought we were going to pray again. All I'm telling you is, Christian, do you see this? Whenever you read your Bible, I'm trying to get you to see, okay, this is Jesus talking to the disciples. Do you ever picture Jesus saying that to you? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? If Jesus could pray all night, and it, many times in the gospel, he would go off. It says he went a mountain by himself, not with his disciples, went off and prayed all night long. I have this thought. See, we're talking about prayer right now. I would hate to get to the end of my life as a Christian and never have spent all night in prayer. I want to have an all-night prayer meeting here one day at the church. I'm going to. And everybody can't come. To me, if you're going to do that, it takes prep. I don't think it'd just be, hey, Wednesday night, we're going to all stay here all night and pray. That would probably go over like screen doors on a submarine. Okay? All right. It would not work. I'm glad Joe caught that. Okay. All right. But don't miss what I just said. If Christian, being like Jesus, if Jesus did it many times in his 3.5 years, I'd hate to get to the end of my Christian life in all of my limitations and never have spent a night in prayer, never prayed all night long, never prayed at 1 or 2 in the morning or 3. You say, that'd take a lot of coffee, preacher. Whatever it takes. That's fine. If you need coffee, fine. Drink coffee. I know one guy, when it was his time to pray at night, he kept his Christmas lights up. He was a missionary. He kept his Christmas lights up in his hallway and in his living room all year round. And so he didn't turn on all the lights. He would plug those in when he would walk. He said, when I pray all night, he said, I got to walk. He said, I can kneel till about 1, but after that I start short-circuiting on Jesus. He said, so I got to get up. He said, and I got my prayer list. And he said, and I'm walking and I'm praying. He said, and I just walk back and forth. He was determined to pray all night. Being around things like that helps you as a Christian. You understand? Because I know many Christians that have never done that. Never in their whole life. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Look at verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then this part of the verse is so powerful. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I have a Holy Spirit inside of me that wants to live for God and wants to do what's right and wants to read my Bible, but it's my flesh that's weak. And Jesus tells us this, and he said, then pray about your temptations. Pray about your weaknesses. What are the benefits of prayer? You can take your weaknesses to God, praying for an hour. Watch this. Look at Matthew 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9. You're in Matthew 26. Go to Matthew chapter 9. As a pastor, I pray for you, and I know you grow spiritually as you pray. I can't make you pray. Not going to. All I can do is try to motivate you to pray. That's all I can do. I pray you pray. I can pray for you. But truths like this, a Sunday school lesson, I'm trying to... I don't know how else to say it. I'm trying to move you into the realm of it's worth your time, it's worth your priority, it's worth it to pray. It should be something that a Christian works at. That's how come I watch Christians go into things and not pray about it one time. Then when it goes bad, they get angry at God. Okay, I don't care if it's a job or they start dating somebody and then, you know, they get married and then the marriage falls apart and then they get mad at God and they never prayed about it one time. Don't blame God. You never ask God's help. God wants to help you, but you got to ask. Amen? You got to talk to the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I have written in my Bible, that's Jesus' prayer request. How many things did Jesus say, I want you to pray for? Two things that I can think of. Tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Every one of us is supposed to be praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let God fill you. That's what Jesus said to pray for. Another thing Jesus said to pray for was that laborers would go into the harvest. There'll always be more to do than we can do around here. There'll always be more people to lead to the Lord than we have people. People are dying and going to hell. You know what we're supposed to be praying? One of the prayer requests that all of us are supposed to pray every day is, Lord, please send forth laborers into the harvest. Please give us laborers. You know that, okay, the people that do work around here that get involved in any way, they're an answer to prayer. Yesterday, somebody helped us bind the calendars. Yesterday, four guys helped us with the lights on the cross. We've had work on the... take any work around here at all. Painting, cleaning. There'll always be more to do than we can do. So what we do get done is an answer to prayer. Christian, could I encourage you this as your pastor? Do you pray that God, please send laborers to our church so that we can lead people to Christ? We can reach, outreach. Did you know we can only run as many vans as we have workers? We can only do what God gives us workers for. And God says, if you don't have enough laborers in the church, do you ever pray? This is Jesus' prayer request. And I'd like to encourage you this morning, Lord, please send forth laborers, workers, people that will get involved. Lord, send us people. That will happen one of two ways. People are either going to come to us from another church, or we're going to lead them to Christ here, and then we're going to grow them and teach them. That's the only way it happens. Okay? So God either brings us people that are already established and already been taught to tithe and everything else, and they already know how to win souls, or as we lead people to Christ here, then we disciple them and help them grow in the Lord, become strong. Amen? I hope you're praying for that. It's a good prayer request. And let's look at, you know what? Go to John 16:24. Can I encourage you to pray, and whatever hassle it is to you is worth it? Because the only reason you don't pray is you've believed it's the devil's lie, that it's useless and worthless and it's a waste of time. And it's either a priority with you or it's not. You either do it or you don't. Amen? So I'm trying to encourage you this morning with some positive points here. There are some things that nothing but good would come when you pray. Nothing but good will come. John 16, look at verse number 24. Jesus said, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I'm going to use this verse this morning in my message, but notice verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Do y'all see Jesus' frustration? He goes, up to this point, he goes, you haven't asked me anything. He said, yet what you don't understand is, when you ask me something and I give it to you, that brings you joy. He said, I'm teaching you to pray so that your joy can be full. And one of the benefits of prayer is joy, because there's only three things in the Bible that bring joy. Leading people to Christ, that brings joy. Helping your converts grow, and answers to prayer. You can do your own word study on it. But there's only three things in the Bible that bring joy. And Jesus said, I'm trying to tell you, please pray to me. Ask me what you need. Because up to this point, you haven't asked me anything. Because you got it all worked out. You can handle it and you can do it. Well, then do it. Do it and waddle. And Jesus said, I'm teaching you this so that your joy can be full. I always use Dr. John R. Rice in this. Dr. John R. Rice used to say, answered prayer should be a daily part of every Christian's life. Before you go to bed tonight, there should be something you ask the Lord that He did for you. Lord, please help me with this. I need help with this. I need this. And you should have an answer to prayer every day. And the only reason you don't see answers to prayer is that you don't pray. What's benefits to prayer? Of course, salvation is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, let's take one more. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll end with this. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse number 6. Be careful or full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you stopped right there, there shouldn't be anything that's bothering you this morning. There shouldn't be anything that you're scared about right now. If you are, it's because you haven't prayed. There should be nothing that your blood pressure is up over right now. Be careful for nothing and let your request be made known unto God. Whatever it is that's bothering you, you should be able to talk to the Lord about it. Yeah, but I'm concerned about this, and then this could happen, and poof, this could happen, and wait till this. Do you realize what? There should be nothing that's bothering you right now. And the only reason it is because you haven't taken it to the Lord. That's verse 6. Notice verse 7. Watch this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice the peace of God only comes after you pray. Verse 7 only comes after you pray in verse 6. There's Christians, they're nervous all the time, scared. Be careful for nothing. And then notice verse number 8. Ready? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatever you think about should come under those categories. That's the checklist. And if it's not, give it to God. Give it to God. I have things I get scared about. I have things I get terrified about. I have things I get depressed about. And then I catch, and I remember, there's not supposed to be anything that's bothering me. And if I'm that bothered about it, how come I'm not praying about it? I can't fix it. He's the only one that can do anything about it. Me worrying and getting an ulcer doesn't show them that I'm right. I'll show you. I'll go to the hospital and have a heart attack. What do you think about that? There, take that. It does nothing. The best thing you can do is pray. And I'm getting convinced of this as a pastor. I told one man in our church this 3 years ago. I said, as I pastor, I'm convinced one of the most important things I do around here is pray. And the longer I pastor, the longer I see that. I can't change one person's life. I can't heal. I can't comfort. I'm just a man. The only one who comforts you is God. The only one who heals is God. The only one who strengthens is God. And if God does anything in your life, it's because the Lord did it. Yes, God has to use the pastor. I understand that, but I still understand my limitations. Christian, same thing as you with your family. One of the best things you can do is pray. Give it to God. What a verse.